I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition. All right, so I'd like to introduce our next guest on the Business of Intuition, Dr. Marsha Reynolds, who has been really one of the founding leaders and thought leaders in the whole movement around coaching, and she's just got an incredible background. She was one of the original global presidents of the International Coach Federation. For those of you who don't know, that's kind of our gold standard association for coaching that sets all the standards and does a lot of the training. And she has trained and coached people in 41 different countries. She's presented at Harvard and Cornell and universities in Europe and Asia. She's very prolific, wrote a lot of books on emotional intelligence and adult learning. And she's really has a vast background in the distinction of coaching and adult learning and organizational development. And Marsha, maybe if I could ask if we could start this ball rolling here, because I was reading through your bio and you said something in it that kind of caught my attention, which was around how to outsmart our brains. Could you kind of give us a little bit of background about what that means and how that applies?
Well, you know, Dean, I've actually been a seeker of trying to understand what does it take to change behavior, to change our own behavior, you know, which we don't do very well. And then, you know, leaders always want to look at how to change other people. Well, you know, I learned techniques, different kind of methods to use in the classroom, but then when I left my last job and I found coaching and I was looking at how does coaching work is when at the same time, emotional intelligence came out. And when I started reading about that, I'm like, oh, emotions. Oh, you know, that we've been like ignoring emotions for so long in terms of, you know, how we make changes when emotions direct all our behavior. So I became fascinated and obsessed with the brain. And I found that there was a neuroscientist that posed the question, do we really have free will? He basically said no, because our brain overtakes everything and we don't realize it. And it just does. It runs the show, especially if there's emotion. And I said, there's got to be a way, because we as humans have the great ability to observe our thinking and to use the observer mind maybe to make changes. So that's when I got into the whole, how do you outsmart your brain so it isn't running your life like, you know, the operating system in the back, but that you can bring it forward and actually look at your thinking and understand how emotions are triggered and maybe tell your brain what to do. So that was kind of the journey that brought me to that. So like, how can you do it for yourself? And then how in coaching can you help other people to be able to stop and say, okay, brain, I know what you're doing, and I'm going to choose to do something else.
It's fascinating. So in some ways, the very mechanism that you're trying to control is the mechanism itself.
Yeah.
The brain, you're trying to tell the brain to be aware of itself. So there's almost a sense of separation.
Right.
There's the brain that is reactive and gets our buttons pushed and restimulated and whatever that might be going on, to the point that I think you made as, do we really have free will? Is there a different part of the brain that is able to separate itself from the experience to watch the experience?
Yeah, you know, that's what they say. I mean, I don't know that you can actually say we're the only species on the planet that can do this, but they say that that's what the humans, because, you know, we have the primitive brain, the emotional, really intuitive brain, which is in the middle, which acts more by impulse. But then we also have a cognitive brain. And it's the development of our cognitive brain that actually allows us then to separate out the reactive brain from the observing brain. And sometimes you can observe yourself reacting and just know that you're not going to change it. You know, the emotions are just so much. It's like, okay, here I go again. I'm getting really angry. You know, so it's going to have to dissipate before I can even manage it. But at least I can observe it. So you have to trust yourself that you can step back and say, okay, brain, what just happened here? You know, what's going on? And the question to ask yourself is, what was it that I expected to happen that didn't? Or what is it that I need in this moment from people that I'm not getting? And so I'm reacting. And so you can ask yourself these questions. And then in the process, the emotions kind of, you know, just drain a little bit, and you can start to come to understand. If you could understand what triggered your emotions, then maybe you can get your needs met and manage your brain a little bit, or you may have to like take some time later to think about it so you can start understanding your behavior a little bit better.
So the mechanism, the operating system you sort of alluded to, seems to have something to do with self-awareness. Is self-awareness something that can be taught? Can we develop it? Are there just styles out there that seem to be better at self-awareness than others? What's your take on that?
That's what I love about emotional intelligence, because it is a something that we can adapt to and learn. So we can stop and ask ourselves these questions if we want to. And that's always the question, do you want to? How many times people say, I can't help myself. These people make me act this way. And it's almost like you're saying, I'm giving myself permission to react. So the choice is, do you want to change that behavior or not? If you do, then yes, you can learn how to catch, you know, it's a physical reaction to catch the emotion. When does your stomach tighten up, or your chest and you stop breathing, or the back of your neck just feels like a rock? When you start to feel these things, that's the moment that you have to stop and say, what's going on here? You know, what is it that I'm afraid of or angry about? And if you can catch the biological reaction, then you can start looking at what made me feel that way and maybe resolve it before it takes over your whole body and mind. Mm. That's the practice, though, is catching the physical reaction, and that takes time.
Well, there's so many things there. Is there a difference then between coaching and therapy, in that you might have a client who you're coaching and their emotional intelligence is such that they're reactive? Maybe their self-awareness is at that point in their development relatively low. Mm-hmm. Are you able to move them into a more of a coaching domain, or do you have to sort of stay in that therapeutic domain, which is more about the past versus the future?
Well, honestly, true to my ethical code, I can't go into the past. The difference really with therapy and coaching, there are some coaching technologies that are very similar, you know, to therapy and cognitive behavioral, where I'm looking at limiting beliefs and things like that. But it's the relationship that's different. So if I'm coaching you, I see you as a partner, and I'm just trying to help you think, to look at your thinking and to pull the stories out of your head and take a look at them. I'm trusting that you're fully functional and whole, that you don't need me to fix you or heal you. You know, and so we're going to look at what's happening in this moment right now. You know, what's the story you're telling yourself? What is it you're feeling about this situation? And we're going to pull it out and look at it, like set it out on the table and take a look at it and say, is there anything that you want to change going forward? So it's about the present moment and the future in coaching, and the relationship that I'm your thinking partner, I believe in you, you're fully functional, whole, creative, resourceful, and you're just stuck in this moment and not knowing, you know, why you're reacting that way, and I'm going to help you figure it out.
Very good. You mentioned different types of brains, the cognitive brain, the reactive brain, and the intuitive brain. Mm-hmm. Talk more about the intuitive brain. What is that about? How does that fit into self-awareness? How does that fit into your work with your clients?
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing about the middle brain, you know, that's the one they say all mammals have, that it's our survival. So our emotional reactions happen at that point, but also how we connect with people and how we understand them really cycles through the intuitive brain before it even gets to the cognitive brain. So when I walk into a room, it's like I have an intuitive sense that if this is safe or not. I'm not thinking about it. You know, I will actually scan the room and figure out where's the safest place for me to sit without even thinking. And so there's things that where I'm picking up other people's emotions and energy with my middle brain and processing it, it then affects how I think. This is happening all the time. But then in coaching, it's really important that I learn how to channel that. So like in my book, The Discomfort Zone, I talk about how when you open up your entire nervous system, which is your heart and your gut, as well as your head, then what happens is that these energies and emotions that we pick up from other people, we're doing that anyway, but we're able then to recognize that I'm getting a hit. I'm sensing something from my heart. I'm sensing something from my gut. This happens before it gets to the cognitive brain. It's just then the cognitive brain has language. And so everything is sent there and filtered there. But if I can trust that I'm getting something from this person, I'm sensing there's something else that needs to be said, that they're not saying the whole thing or they're not quite understanding, then I want to trust that sense. And it comes in through my nervous system. So I always say, you know, intuition, from my understanding, from a science point of view, isn't from outer space, it's from inner space. You know, it's what we pick up with our nervous system, which is picking up signals from around us all the time and then sending it up to our brain. So again, if I can open up my heart and my gut and trust, you know, and how many times do you know every language on this planet has a way of saying, trust your gut or trust your heart, you know, or I didn't listen to my gut or I didn't listen to my heart. Every language understands that because it's biological. So if we can start listening to our gut and listening to our heart, as well as to our brain, what we're doing is actually accessing the intuition that's cycling through us, that's coming through us through our environment and the people that we're with. And there's so much wisdom in that beyond what's happening in our cognitive brain.
So from a business perspective, what is the cost to not tapping into this wisdom you're referring to? Why should we care?
Well, the thing is that all this stuff is cycled through the quote logical brain, which really isn't all that logical. The saying goes that we actually make all of our decisions with emotions and then we justify them with logic. I mean, how many times have you done something where it's like it was totally ridiculous, but you had a reason for it right away? You know, I did that because of this. Oftentimes, one of my favorite questions in coaching when people tell me why they did something, my favorite question is, really? Is that true? And then they step back and go, huh, maybe there's another reason I did that. If we only trust our, quote, logical thinking brain, then we're going to be trusting a lot of our rationalizations more than the actual input that we're getting. And so we'll make a business decision and it'll be a rationalization and not based on facts, that we believe what's based on emotion more than what's based on facts, until we pull it out again and look at it and say, what is true here really? And what is it that I'm making up because I want to believe it? You know, so we have to, again, pull it out of our head. And this is why coaching is so important, and take a look at what went into that decision, really. And, you know, how did my emotions play into that? And you know, I was working with this group of scientists, and they were telling me that, well, there's no way that we can make all of our decisions based on facts. We have to trust our intuition because we don't know the answers and we have to know the direction we're going in. So we have to stop and ask, what is my intuitive sense about this? And not just what I think is right, because there's no way of me knowing what is right.
So let me throw a scenario at you. This is an actual one that I witnessed with a group of executives in a meeting. I had noticed that there was some people who were not participating in the conversation. And mm-hmm. in reflection and discussion with them, it sounded like they didn't feel that they had facts, information, data to be able to present. And because they didn't have that, their voice wasn't needed, necessary, or even appreciated. However, they had some, one might call, emotional reaction to what was being discussed, or one might even say they had an intuitive reaction to what was being discussed. But because they didn't have the facts and information to present, they basically said, I'm going to self-select myself out of this conversation. And the way the guiding principles of that team were set up was pretty much reinforcing that participation level. So the question is this: I might be sitting in a meeting. How do I know the difference between I just have an emotional reaction to something that might be a trigger that may not even be a part of this conversation? I just don't like the person. I feel threatened. They remind me of somebody. The style seems to go against my style versus my pattern recognition abilities, my wisdom, my intuition, that all-knowing part of me is also going on. So how do I know which one's happening? How do I know which one to say, Dean, you're just having an emotional reaction to this. Maybe you should keep your mouth shut versus, nope, this is important. This is intuitive. This is seeing a pattern and I need to speak up. Do you have any wisdom and ideas about how to differentiate the two?
You know, you just kind of laid it out. Again, that's what I've learned in coaching is to say, okay, let's sort this out. Be honest. Do you have reactions to the person who's talking? You know, just write it down. Yeah, I don't like them. They're a know-it-all. And I don't want to agree with them just because. Okay? Just put it out on the table. And then you set it aside and say, okay, but is there other things that I'm sensing that I think this is right because, you know, or wrong because? So I would say that all of that is possible at one time. To say, it's either or, there's rarely an either or, you know? So if we can just say, just put it out on the table, here's all the factors that could be going into this. Then you can make a conscious choice as to you really what's coming up. And so if you say, yeah, I don't like this person, they're a know-it-all, I'm just going to disagree with them because, and here's a few things that are making me believe this way, even though I'm not sure. Do you have enough of this other thing that would substantiate your decision or not? You know, so you make a logical choice based on what's illogical by laying it all out on the table and being honest about it.
So is intuition then in its purest form void of those emotional and triggers that is more about me and my past? Or are they somehow connected?
Well, because I think intuition is a lot of what's going on in this moment. You know, how I interpret it might be based on my past because that's all I have. There's fascinating evidence about, you know, when you face something for the very first time, it's like it takes a while for your brain to even wire to figure out what's happening. So I call it the baby steer. When you're coaching and you ask them a question and they're like just taken aback because they've never experienced where you're going, it's like they get this like baby stare.
You're in headlights, right?
Yeah, because the brain has to rewire and make sense of what's going on. The brain is a meaning-making machine, you know, and so it's like, oh, I don't know, this does not compute. So it has to like wire itself to figure it out. Yes, we interpret things based on the past, but sometimes we don't have anything to go on. But, you know, the brain will put things together and associate to give you some kind of sense. So that aha moment that we might have where we go, oh, okay, now I understand. That's going to be what we call a new awareness, not something you've known before. So you can't always say it's happened in the past. It could be a brand new insight or awareness that we have created in this moment. And it maps to creativity, you know? So it's a creative moment that we have an insight about what we can now do or going forward.
So how do I be more intuitive? How do I understand, trust, and have the courage to use my intuition?
Yeah. Well, you just said, you know, the courage is a big thing. You know, when I said about opening the head, heart, and gut, we open our centers with emotions. We open our mind with curiosity. If I want to stop judging you, I have to feel curious. And curious is an emotion. I have to breathe it in. I'm curious. But then on my website, I have a visualization of how then you drop your awareness down into your heart and you open your heart with gratitude, compassion, care. I always tell people, pull out your cell phone and look at your favorite pictures, you know, because there's going to be pictures of your family or places you've been, and it's going to make you feel good and you're going to smile and you just opened your heart. Okay. So we open our head with curiosity. We open our heart with gratitude, with care. And then you need to like visualize your center, the center of your body. And the center of your body, what we call our gut, that's truly like the command center. And most Eastern philosophies, you know, our chi, our ki, the centering, our wisdom comes from the center of our body, not our head. And we open the center of our body with courage. So I always tell my clients, recall a time in your life where you spoke up or stood up in spite of your fear and feel that energy, because that's courage. And when you feel that energy, you feel it in the center of your body, you know, and that opens up your gut. Now, if you can open your head, your heart, and your gut, you've got your entire nervous system open, ready to receive, you know, what's coming in from your environment, which then creates the signals that can trigger your intuition.
Which is great. So I was writing down some notes as you were talking about that, and I had a visual of sort of this idea of going in, mm-hmm. gut, head, heart, but also going up, opening up the channels, having that mm-hmm. observer, the observer of self. I can see myself going through this as well as being able to go through it. But the observer of others, the observer of the environment, the observer of other information that may not necessarily always be hardcore facts and information and data. So it's like almost like this channel between the uh-huh. outer and the inner and the integration of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to ask, how do people connect with you in the future? This has just been a delightful conversation, and you've got such wealth of information and background. I mean, you really have done a lot. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your book. I know that just came out. And how else can we understand your perspective and connect to your work?
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dean. Well, my website is covisioning.com. And so all my books are there. And then under the discomfort zone training materials, you'll find that visualization. But there's also my book that's coming out soon. I should have it in hand in a few weeks. It's called Coach the Person, Not the Problem. And this is where everything we've just been talking about, how do you help people stop and look at their stories, to look at what is the input that's coming in, and maybe how are they distorting it? We don't do that well for ourselves. But if there's an external, what we call an external disruptor, which is what a coach is, to have you pull the stories out and look at them and what are the beliefs and assumptions that are holding the stories together, then you can start to see what else is possible. It's like you have to, you know, look at the story in order to see beyond it. So it's how you do it for other people. And certainly you can use it to help yourself see what's beyond the story into what else is possible as well.
Wonderful. Dr. Marcia Reynolds, thank you so much. This was just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.